broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You could say that the 60th anniversary inside China...
will make sure we bring down the cost of health care for
all...
As
I see the amendment, it's a solution looking for a problem.
I find him terrifying.
You do?
I do. I find him terrifying.
Oh, it's big.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. All Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, and liberals, they can all die, man. Just die. Do us all a favor, will you? Do us all a favor and just do the honorable thing or the dishonorable thing or however you want to pop your freaking cork, man. Go away. You killing this country as sure as we're sitting here. Either that, man, or we can go back to doing shtick. You know, we'll go back and do the funny. You know, this business, this talk radio business makes me laugh. You want to talk about funny. The funniest thing in my life is talk radio. Listening to these jive-ass mothers every day pretending like they know what it is they're talking about, you know? Pretending like they care. Pretending like they're laying it on you the way they got it, man. The straight scoop, you know? Like this gentleman called earlier in the show, and he made a very good point. He said, you know, I don't know whether I can trust my elected leaders. These guys, they're not talking straight to me. They're not talking straight to you. The guys that you do trust ain't talking straight to you, man. Those guys on TV, they ain't talking straight to you. Talk radio ain't talking straight to you. Why do you think the guy's a conservative commentator anyway? Why do you suppose he became a conservative commentator? You think it's because he believes it? Because he knew which way the wind was blowing. Why do you think somebody became a progressive commentator? As a reaction to that. You got plenty of conservatives. I hear they're putting together a network, man. I hear it's going to be a liberal radio station. I'm going to do that. No one wants to stray from the tried and the true formula of left, right, liberal, conservative, jackball, jackass, dumbass, dumbbell. I mean, you know, nobody wants to stray from that tried and true and just, I mean, just rooted in cement, carved in marble paradigm, that perfect system of one against the other, back and forth. But that's the way life is, Phil. Life is about the truth and the non-truth. Life is about taking the right road as opposed to the wrong road. Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Life's about options, you know. But life is not about having options so you can stay stuck. Life's about having options so you can move forward. In the last 24 hours, last 24 to 48 hours, during this amazing debate about health care, we have had one ideologue and demagogue after the other standing up the United States Congress and spewing their spew. We've had the same thing on TV, the same thing on radio. We had this guy Grayson. We opened the show up with Grayson because this guy Grayson, this elected representative, a member of the House of Representatives who stood there and said that the Republicans were all about killing old people, that it was a Holocaust, that it was the Republic, you know, basically the party of death. This same old, this chattering, this claptrap, this flummery, this bullcrap that this guy is spewing, he thinks he's being original. On the other side, you got the Democrats, the Republicans on the other side, and the continual lies. I mean, God almighty, it's enough to, you can't keep your lunch down. And then you look at all of these people buying into it and running out there in their Winnebagos and doing their tea parties one minute, or their code pink the next. It all depends on the issue. Let me tell you something, tea party people. If you think you're being jacked around, man, you haven't seen jacked around. You think you're getting jacked around by your elected representatives? You're getting jacked around by Fox News. You're getting your you know what, man, with the bells on it. That one, that thing's getting yanked, and it don't even feel good. Do it. It sure don't.
No, it don't. Do it.
You know what? Get out of here. Here is Bette Midler, and then, of course, we got Bette Midler weighing in. I don't know why, but she said on the headline news show, the Joy Behar Show, which just debuted on September the 29th. I guess that would have been last night. Sorry, I missed it. No, two nights ago. This is the 30th. Yeah, it was last night, sort of last night. Didn't see a Joy, but anyway. Joy Behar, which included appearances by comedian Janine Garofalo, CNN's Jack Cafferty, who unfortunately was bleeding on the seat. I'm kidding. And actress Bette Midler. Actress-turned-Vegas-entertainer Bette Midler went straight after former CNN headline host Glenn Beck. She was prodded by host Joy Behar, who mentioned Beck as someone who is encouraging a breakdown in political discourse. Glenn's not encouraging a breakdown in political discourse. Glenn's just an idiot trying to get along, okay? Glenn is a ideologue gussied up to look like a circus clown. The problem with Glenn is he ain't funny. I mean, he isn't. If you think he is, you better check your sense of humor. The guy ain't funny. I mean, he's funny to a certain mentality. I guess he's sort of funny to the average run-of-the-mill lame ass that thinks that kind of thing's funny. But, and I know Glenn. He's a nice guy. I can tell you this right now. In a debate on any issue you want to talk about, this is how good he is. If he was here right now and Glenn and I were debating health care, I'd destroy the guy. It'd take me about 5 minutes. I'd destroy him. If it was just a straight debate. So he doesn't have what I would call the credentials when it comes to actual information. What does he do well? He's a showman. But you're giving the guy far too much credit there, Ms. Midler, by saying that he can actually encourage a breakdown in a political discourse to the point where we have a Rwanda-style civil war. I mean, we're talking about now, you know, genocide. I mean, people are, if that's how he makes you feel, then you don't get it. Maybe what's pissing you off is that there's a few Americans out there who actually do believe what this guy is selling, right? And as we've often said on the show, and we've just got done sort of dancing around it, I'll say it to you straight, you're more likely to be lied to by either Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Chris Matthews or David Schuster or Keith Olbermann. You're far more likely to be lied to. Joy Behar, she's more likely to lie to you. Glenn Beck and Joy Behar both are more likely to lie right to your face than Obama on his best day. You don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you, it's the facts, Jack. You are more likely to be lied to by these people who have their seven-figure salaries. Absolutely, there's no investment in the truth, just entertainment. They're not passing bills. They're not having to vet legislation. They're not having to get read up on issues. They're as stupid as the day is long on half of these issues. All they have to know is something about sloganeering. Those people lie all the time. For Bette Midler to get upset to the point where she fears a civil war because of a dimbulb like Glenn Beck. Holy God, go back to Vegas. I mean, seriously. Go back to Vegas, take over that lion taming act for Siegfried and what's-his-ass, and maybe one of them will, you know, do the same thing to you that they did to Roy, if you'll pardon me. I'm sorry, Ms. Midler, but... All right, anyway, CNN News, Joy Behar Show. Here she is, Bette Midler. She's all in a heap about Glenn Beck and what it am is he going to do.
I find him terrifying.
You do?
I do. I find him terrifying. He's like an old school demagogue, and it's really frightening. Because, you know, if you look around at the rest of the world and what this kind of behavior has done, like in Rwanda,
yeah,
where the demagogues got on the radio and start and fomented all that hate between the Tutsis and the
Hutus.
Mm-hmm. And the devastation that happened from that. I mean, it's hard. It's terrifying. And that could happen, you know, you could turn on a dime. That could happen here.
What the hell are you, the Tutsis? Who?
Oh, it's big.
I never heard of the Tutsis or the Hutus or the Hooters. Well, maybe yours. Anyway, she likened the Fox News host to the instigators of the Rwandan Civil War, which was the catalyst for the Rwandan genocide, where an estimated 800,000 to a million lost their lives. I'm telling you right now, you're giving this guy far too much power. But then again, Ms. Midler, it doesn't make you any different from the Tea Party jackasses. They give them the same power. Only they believe him. And you believe him. The Rwandan Civil War. I got to hand it to you, Glenn, man. You have reached the heights now. You got Bette Midler worried about you.
I find him terrifying.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, the Empire State Building lit up in colors of red and yellow to celebrate China's anniversary, like who cares? And there were a few people that really were, you know, put out by that. And we got a few other things here countrywide, just a whole flurry of activity. Our website is philhendryshow.com. You can look at a live streaming video. I'm looking at it right now. How am I looking, bud? I'm looking all right. You can look at a live streaming video of our show every night at philhendryshow.com. You can also listen to live streaming audio. You can hear a download of the show each and every day. And that means you can go over there and download it to the iPod, and bang, man, you are set, brother. Let me tell you something, what I got that Glenn Beck ain't got, okay? I mean, I'm giving you answers. I'm showing you the way. I am showing you the way here, all right? Poor Glenn, he's doing okay. At least he's, you know, he's staying clean. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
He ate my finger.
World famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch every night on this show. Let me tell you what the truth is, okay? If you want to talk about the government and the stimulus and the money and the GM and the bailout and the this and the stimulus and the bailout and the stimulus and the bailout and the stimulus and the bailout, and we can do that. We can do that for a long time. I could do that. I could sit here and talk about the government with stimulus, the bailout and the stimulus, right? And if I said anything, for instance, about, oh, I don't know, let's just pull a name out of the hat. Countrywide, and if I said something about how they didn't do business all that boogie-woogie, as a matter of fact, they had their heads so far up their asses, that's costing us a few dollars as taxpayers, I suppose that I would be anti-business. I am not anti-business. I love business, and I think cats that run businesses into the ground and destroy communities as the result, those sons of bitches ought to be driven out of town on a rail, if not put in jail. What do you think of that? You going to find anybody that is going to disagree with that? Is that liberal or is that conservative, huh? Stick around, maybe. If I don't do it, Glenn Beck may do it. And one thing you can say about Glenn, at least he's still clean and sober. This is the... What are you looking at?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I think it's a very positive thing. Here is Dan in Austin. Dan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What can we do for you, man?
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, and thank you for keeping me awake on the road for the last hour. It was great listening to you. Listen...
Thank you.
I'm an ignorant American tax-paying business owner that is being just...
You're hired.
Yeah, thank you. Inundated with information that really, what in the heck am I to believe? What am I to believe? I don't know if I'm a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative, because if I listen to five different shows, I'm, oh, yeah, that's me.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
You know.
I know.
The thing that I'm getting at that worries me, only one thing, if our government, and I am an American and I'm a veteran also.
Yes, sir.
If our government can't handle what they got now, what in God's name are they going to do with the health care system? And that's the only thing that scares the heck out of me. I want health care for everybody. I'm 53 years old. I'm going to be retired pretty soon.
But do you know why you want health care for everybody?
Real simple. The fact is that everybody deserves proper care in a good
family. I got a better reason, though. I got a better reason.
Tell me.
It's going to save us money. You and me.
I
get everybody to have health insurance. It's going to save us money.
I hope something
now,
does. Because I
well,
know...
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And you asked a lot of really good questions. I would say that you're not alone. But I would ask you to do this. Simply look at the Congressional Budget Office number that they put on the cost of health care every year. It's $2.5 trillion. Now, take a look at that, man. $2.5 trillion, okay? Now, no one disputes that number, Dan. Nobody in the Republican Party is saying to Obama that he's lying when he says it's 16% of the GDP. They know it's true. That's approaching one-fifth, man. That's money that we could be putting into the future of this country, into businesses if you want, into a surplus if you want, whatever you want, tax breaks, you know. But it's money that's being wasted, man. We could give people a rebate. We could do whatever you want to do, man. We could land on Jupiter with that bread if you want. But the fact is, that's money that's getting tossed down a rat hole.
But what's really nice about hearing from you is the people. See, somehow in this whole grand scheme of things, even though these bills have come out, a lot of people have forgotten about the people, it seems. It's all about hype and belief.
Well, I'm telling you, Dan, you know, it's about hype. If you listen, that's why we say you're more likely to be lied to than people on television, than anybody in Congress. Most of the lies are being told on TV, and it's not because they're bad people. They got to make a living. They got to get an audience, and they'll say anything to get an audience. And this is a tragedy. You know, what we got to do here. Yeah. Exactly, man. So, you know, and I know that I'm rolling the dice with this radio show by talking straight to people. Hey, how about that? I'm telling people the truth, man. Maybe I'll get an audience. Who knows? But the fact is, all you got to do is look at that number, and you tell me, man, you tell me what we can do to save that money. That makes sense to me some way. We don't have to have a national plan, man. Like, if we get done this year, this one simple thing. You can't kick people off of insurance because of pre-existing condition. You can't kick people off of insurance because they get sick. If we just get that done, man. All right, let's start small and let's work our way up if we want, you know.
And I appreciate the candor on that. I do. I got one more thing. I'm going to let you go because I know you got a lot of people that you're waiting for you to talk to you.
Not really, but I got a lot of, you know, I got a lot of hot air I got to divest myself of.
You spoke about Roman Polanski.
Uh-huh.
Now, and I heard this as I was waiting to talk about the first subject. And I grew up in Southern California, matter of fact, right out of Simi Valley, out of Camarillo. So I was real close to all that happened. And, you know, I'm a father of a 13-year-old girl that was molested. My opinion of this situation is I lost my little girl at 13 years old. She was no longer my little girl. She didn't sit on my lap anymore. She didn't hug daddy's neck. She didn't do any of that anymore.
Why? Because she was molested by a stranger or by who?
By a teacher. A male teacher.
And she did not feel safe with you, her father, huh?
She didn't feel safe with anyone for a long time.
What about her mother?
Oh, her mother was fine. She's a woman.
She was all right with her mother. Just all men, huh?
You know, when a father loses their daughter, there's something to that. And this Roman Polanski has, if me as a Joe American citizen skip the United States of America on a felony,
we'd be thrown in
the paper from Sweden that came over and made love to a 16-year-old girl and got 8 years in prison.
You're absolutely right, Dan. No justice. I'm sorry about your daughter, and I hope that I hope life is much sweeter and much kinder, treats you better as the years go by. And you're right, man. Just give me the facts, the straight facts about this health care. People are, you know, I'm tired of talking about it, to be honest with you. And at this particular point, I don't give a damn whether we pass it or not, man. If we want to throw $2.5 trillion down a rat hole every year, but fine with me. All right, 877-876 Phil. I wanted to get into a whole thing on Countrywide and the loans that they're giving out. What the hell were we talking about anyway?
Yeah, you were talking about business and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's clear.
Yeah, you're seeing how bad that is.
All right, well, the fact is this. Countrywide, the discovery that Countrywide recorded phone conversations with borrowers in a controversial mortgage program, and this has been confirmed by Bank of America. They said in a written statement that the VIP recordings were retained for only a limited time or until available recording space was utilized. Due to these limitations, we have no recordings from before July 2008 when Bank of America assumed management of Countrywide and terminated the VIP program. Okay, fine. They had recordings. It was a VIP program, Friends of Daryl. We don't know what he was talking about. All we know is the following thing. Countrywide did business so poorly that they cost us a lot of money in terms of the homeowners who had mortgages, who might have had a toxic mortgage or a debt that they couldn't cover or a mortgage they couldn't cover that was issued to them by Countrywide. And as a result, we had banks that didn't know how much money they had. And as a result, the banks didn't want to lend. And as a result, some banks were going under and other banks didn't want to lend money. All of this flows from this lousy, toxic mortgage, toxic asset mess. You remember that? And much of it, because of companies like Countrywide, doling out a mortgage here and a mortgage there, and they didn't know if they got the guy on the bottom line or not, whether he could afford it, and they don't care. And then they got some sweetheart deal on top of this. Personally, my gut tells me there ain't nothing to this. Just because a senator is playing kissy face with this jackball that ran, what's his name, Angelo something or other, who ran Countrywide, just because these guys are breaking bread, it doesn't necessarily mean they're breaking a law. It's easy and convenient, and it makes us feel good if we can drag a douchebag like Christopher Dodd out on the carpet. I don't like this guy any more than I, you know, I don't like this guy any more than I like the average slob in a suit. But it doesn't necessarily mean they were doing anything other than talking real sweet to each other. Did he get a sweetheart deal on his mortgage? Maybe he did. And maybe that just further solidifies the evidence that Countrywide did rotten, stinking, sloppy business. And maybe we could indict Christopher Dodd for something. It doesn't get our money back, folks. Do you understand? It doesn't get our... We already know these guys were doing lousy business and that the rules have got to change. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and the Empire State Building next.
Phil Henry.
All right, we'll get to some phone calls here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, but I just wanted to say one thing, just one small itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, little tiny, just barely teeny-weeny. You know, remember when Diane Sawyer was hammered? Drunk, I think, is the word that I was looking for, but I didn't want to go all that way. I didn't want to have to run that far.
Yeah, it's a big word.
Exactly. Anyway, when Diane was saying, you know, teeny weeny 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 weeny, and then I think she said penis, but I'm not sure. No, remember, well, never mind about what she said, but it's just a teeny weeny little fact about Countrywide. Countrywide. All right. Oh, there's just one little thing. This guy, Daryl Issa, who's a U.S. congressman, and a lot of people don't like him because he's a conservative, you know. I don't like any of them, conservative, liberal. I just take a guy, is this guy, you know, I use Congress people the way I use seasoning. You know, what do we need tonight? Okay, grab some of this Daryl Issa. Let's sprinkle it on there. I got some of this Grayson. Let me have some of that. Well, you realize that those are liberal. I don't give a damn what he is. If it's going to make the meat taste better, let's go. This guy says, all right, I understand you had a Friends of Angelo program, and I understand that, and these were people. Now, you know, they don't know they were getting a deal. This was before all of you guys out there say, oh, yeah, sure. Now, let's take the facts as we know them. They had a Friends of Angelo program. And what that means, who knows? We don't know. Dodd says he didn't know that he was on some Friends of Angelo program. He figured he got a good deal because he'd been a Countrywide customer for a long time. All right, fair enough. Now we find out that there were phone calls, obviously, that were recorded at Countrywide. Now, these are phone calls that come in all the time. They go to customer service. They go to lending. They go to the mortgage department. And some of them went to the Friends of Angelo. And these are recorded. And these phone calls were recorded and available. B of A says until they took over management of Countrywide sometime in 2000, whatever the hell it was, 2006, I think it was. Okay. 2008, July of 2008 when they took over. And they said that when they took over, the recording space was not available to record any more calls, so these recordings were all erased in July of 2008. Issa, making sense, I think, says, fine, but we'd like to talk to somebody and find out exactly what might have been on those tapes. Well, why does he want to do that? Well, what if one of the guys calling in on the Friends of Angelo program was Christopher Dodd? Now, we got a problem, don't we? Because the guy lied when he said that he didn't know anything about that. We might find out about other things, knowing that this Friends of Angelo program may have had something to do with sweetheart deals, blah, 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 and we have public servants that may be involved, and we should know because we're the taxpayers and they are our representatives. Okay. So I'm saying to you that ISIS... concern, I think, is well-placed. I think it's very convenient that all of a sudden the recording space, B of A takes over in July 2008. Oh, look at this. We have no more space to record phone calls. Well, let's just erase it and start all over again. July of 2008, at a time just prior to the collapse or near collapse of the financial system of almost the world, nobody at B of A thought, well, maybe we ought to hold on to these recordings. There might be something here of legal import. Who knows? Somebody may be wanting to sue our ass. I don't know. They just erased the tape. And I don't think they did that as a mistake. I think they did it saying, you know what, we're taking over a mess here, man. I don't even want to know about it. Well, what about these recordings? I want those things bulk erased. Get rid of them, everything. Now, you can't say they're destroying evidence because there isn't any evidence. Evidence of what? It's just stupid recordings. So ISA wants to bring these guys in and say, all right, we understand you erased it. What was on the tape? You know, I have no idea. Do you know if Christopher Dunn was on the tape? I have no idea. Well, do you know if any U.S. congressman was on? I have no idea. All right, fine. We'll take it your word. There's nothing more we can do about it. Why'd you tell us about how you made those tapes? Why did you erase those tapes? How long were those tapes available before you erased them? How long is the tape? What's on the tape? You know, I would be interested in that conversation. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Rebecca in San Antonio. Rebecca, what's going on tonight?
Hey, I just wanted to respond to the comments you made about Glenn Beck.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, you make comments about, you know, whatever, Bette Midler, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
He does come up with facts. He does present them on his show. And I just don't appreciate what you say about him.
No, he doesn't. No, yeah. No, he doesn't.
Oh,
no,
yes,
he doesn't.
He does. He does.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
He presents them. He does.
No.
Follow
no, I saw. In fact, I saw a segment, Rebecca, where he was already this tired comparison of Obama with communists and socialists, and of course when he's caught in, you know, when obviously he says I'm a clown and it's satire. Well, I know Glenn. He's not. He wouldn't know what satire was if you introduced him to it.
Well, you know,
his information is wrong. I can tell you. Yeah, I've met it. Yes, I do know him. He's asked to come watch my show. Yes, I have. Yes, many times. Many times, okay? Glenn, let me tell you something, Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
If you want to trust a talking head on TV and yet call politicians liars, that's your prerogative. It's not intelligent because that guy on television has no vested interest in telling you the truth. All he has is a vested interest in making an advertiser happy. If you want to trust a talking head on TV or on radio before you trust an elected representative, the guy on radio and TV is making a seven-figure salary. The guy in Washington's making 1/100th of that. That's your prerogative. To me, that doesn't sound intelligent.
But you know what? What I believe is the truth, and what he shows me, and with facts. And
if you want the truth, I just gave you the truth.
I
just gave you the truth. He's more likely to lie to you.
What he shows me.
For instance,
I trust him.
For instance, give me an example.
The truth.
Give me an example.
Just for example,
yeah.
You know, all the facts he presented today on the show, you
who?
Know, it all ties in, you know, socialism.
Who are you talking, who?
Barack Obama wants to make this socialized. No.
And how did he prove that? How did he prove that? How did he prove it?
Oh, yeah, it goes back to, you know, what she owns, everything that she has.
Who's she? Who's
Garrett?
She
owns... She's
who's Jarrett? Who is she talking? Do you, anybody know who she's talking about? Who's Jarrett?
A czar, pretty much, for him.
And
what I'm trying to say is that he presents facts, okay? And you can
No, he doesn't. And you haven't even proven your point yet. You haven't he doesn't present facts.
You know,
no, he doesn't present facts.
You know what I believe?
Tell me what he tell me what he proved to you. Tell me what he proved to you.
No.
Tell me what Tell me,
people
have the right to be stupid? Okay, you're right about that. You're right about that. You're right, Rebecca. People have the right to believe any horse dung that somebody tells them.
No,
you're absolutely right.
Horse dung. And I've been listening to him before he came out on television, okay? And I trust
Rebecca, Glenn, if Glenn was on this show right now, if Glenn was sitting next to me right now, he would be, he'd be absolutely destroyed. I have tons of facts. You just are of an ideological stripe that you don't want to believe it. You are a conservative and you will not believe anything that smacks of liberal to you, even though you don't know what liberal is.
I'm no conservative, I'm no Republican, no Democrat. I'm just for the truth and for the Constitution.
No. Well, then this is the show you ought to be listening to. This is the show you ought to be listening to. Not some guy that's going to lie to you just so that you, you know, will be in his fan club.
If he was lying,
absolutely.
He'd be on there telling whatever he's making up.
Are you listening to that? Folks, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear Rebecca. She's saying if he was lying, he wouldn't be on TV. Are you ready for that? That is like a child's viewpoint. That's a child's viewpoint.
Right? But he's still there?
No. Wrong, Rebecca. He wouldn't be on TV if he lost. If he lost advertisers, he'd be off of TV. But he doesn't have to tell the truth. All right, I know that truth is so important to you. Thank you. Oh, my God. If this, first of all, Valerie Jarrett is an advisor. She's not a czar. Second of all, if Glenn was lying and he was still getting viewers, he'd still be on the air. Fact is, he isn't lying. He's just playing a game. He's playing a game with people. Drawing a connection between this Valerie Jarrett on up to Obama, and that's why there's socialism, that's not free thinking. And as I said before, if I had Glenn sitting next to me right now debating these points, I'd destroy him, and it'd probably take about 3-4 minutes. Destroy him. Because Glenn's not a debater. Glenn is not a thinker. Glenn is a performer. Now, you may think he's funny. Fine. And that's cool. I mean, a cat's got a right to make a living any way he wants. But, I mean, you heard the lady. He wouldn't be on TV if he wasn't telling the truth. Oh, come on, man. What year is this? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Sally in Harrisburg. Yes. Sally, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight?
I got a couple things. First, please let me tell you this. I am only up at this late hour because I have chronic pain, and listening to your show at night has given me so many laughs and made me forget about my pain. It's probably been the most cathartic thing I've ever had.
Well, thank you.
That's good. You're the best. Okay.
That's good.
And
thank
I'm in the
you.
Middle
thank
of nowhere
you.
Compared to where you're at. With the Glenn Beck comments tonight, I'm not a diehard fan or anything, but I was a little taken back when you kept saying he's clean and sober.
Oh, yeah, isn't he?
Are you trying to slam him for that? Or
wait a minute. Is he not clean and sober?
Yeah, but why keep saying that? You know, I mean,
I said it once. I said it once.
You said it twice that I heard.
Twice.
You did. That's not like you. Seriously, it's not like
that guy's clean. He's clean and sober. I think that's a marvelous thing. Don't you? Let me ask you.
He
I want to ask
a
you a question.
I think he should be doing comedy.
Glenn's not a comedian. Believe me. Let me ask you a question. Why is it? Like, really shocking. The folks that are listening, I want you to pay attention because I've made this point a million times. Why is it shocking for me to say that about a TV commentator, and you'll run to his defense, but if we say those things about presidents or elected representatives, we laugh. We use it as a way of demeaning them. We use it as a way of indicting their veracity or their ability to talk straight to us, you know? But TV personalities who are making $25 million a year, oh, my goodness gracious, let's not say anything bad about them. And those guys, as I've said, have no vested interest in telling you the truth at all. All they need are advertisers and viewers.
I agree. Absolutely.
Well, and so what's Glenn can handle it. He can handle it. He's a big boy.
He's what?
Glenn can handle it. He can handle it. He's a big boy.
But
you know.
I feel like it's a slam against everybody who's clean and sober in a way. I'm sorry.
Well,
I think
it's a comment. My thing is this. It's a comment on, great, Glenn's clean and sober. He's got himself a TV show, and he's doing very well. It doesn't mean that he has the truth in his hip pocket.
Absolutely. And
that's all.
I gotta agree with you. Maybe I'm wrong about what I'm saying to you. You know, with the clean and sober thing, it just kind of hit me wrong. The second
Were you an addict? Are you an addict?
Years and years ago, I was.
I'm glad. Are you clean and sober?
Absolutely.
Are you clean and sober?
Yep.
Well, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's like, you know, if someone kept saying that in front of me, like. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, Sally, I wouldn't be laying that on you. Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't lay that on you. But because Glenn is a public personality, because he, because the cat is making a lot of comments, you know, I think it's fair game. And I said it twice, and you know, that's where that's at. And if he wants to have a shot at tequila with me sometime, oh, I'm sorry, he can't do that.
Well, you know what
I mean. All right, Sally, you're very kind. Thanks. I gotta get going. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. With Charles in Los Angeles. Charles, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that Glenn Beck worshiper. Beck said that the Vancouver lost $1 billion when it had the Olympics. The problem is the Olympics won't take place in Vancouver until 2010.
You know, he was talking about Calgary, you know, but that's Glenn. He thought Alaska was bought in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He might have been talking about Calgary, Charles. I don't know. They did have the Winter Olympics in Calgary at one point, but
okay, well, he did say Vancouver. He makes a lot of mistakes. And
yeah.
The other thing I was going
to point
out
kind.
Was you were talking about Countrywide. And
yes, sir.
Well, Countrywide, they were mortgage brokers. So all they did was originate a bunch of loans, because that's what they got paid on, and then they would sell off the loans. And they didn't really care if the people paid off the loans or not.
Yes.
And they did a lot of subprime loans, and Acorn actually warned Congress way back in 2001 about these subprime loans, saying it's going to cause a big problem. And Congress didn't pay attention. A lot of those fat cats were making big money. And then, now we know what happened. The whole bubble burst, and we got to pay the
tax. Yeah. What you're saying is Acorn did some good stuff too, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, but you know, ultimately, we know the guys who ignored Acorn, and they were all the U.S. senators. And we also know, not all the U.S. senators, there were a lot of U.S. representatives. And we also know, surprisingly, the people that wanted to overhaul some of these lending institutions, such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that were making these loans to low-income people. And nobody wanted to do any overhaul. And so your point is well taken there, Charles, on Acorn doing some good work. I think maybe what they should have done is stuck to the housing thing and got out of the voter registration business, and they might have been way ahead of the game.
Well,
thank you very much for your call. I thank you, Charles. I got to get running because we got to do the stories we couldn't get to. And, we got one more phone call. This is Tim in Boston. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. Good. Thank you.
I just wanted to throw my two cents in about the health care plan, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking about it while I'm sitting here listening to you, and I said to myself, you know, number one, of course, we're in the United States. It's the best country in the world. I truly believe that, and I think that, of course, everyone should have health care. That's first and foremost. But second, I really think that the small business owners, the entrepreneurs out there that want to get started, I think they'll really start coming, out of the woodwork, so to speak. I think people, even like myself, would want to start a small business because if the administration can pass that, you know, basic health care package, you know, people don't have to worry about, if I start the business, you know, can I still provide for me and my family? Or if I start a business and get some, employees working for me, can I get good, can I retain good employees, you know? And if there's a basic health care plan that will provide for everyone, it's a foundation. It's
going to give you as a business owner, it'll give you as a business owner tax credits, the ability to provide this. It's not going to cost you all that money. You're going to be more competitive because, as you say, you're retaining your people. Other companies have to do the same thing. These are things we need to, Tim, it's a great call. I appreciate you calling. And these are things, folks, that I think the American people need more time digesting. And maybe that, and if there was good news that I would say to the president, all right, so you lost this round, but you got three more years. And I think the more we talk about this, the more educated the American people will become, and less steam will be put into all of this crazy talk about socialism. We'll be right back with the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What did the lady say?
She said that she liked listening to the show because she's in pain and you relieve the pain.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you may relieve her pain, but I'm in pain every time, I don't know what he's saying.
Was there a joke in that or something?
Yeah. I just done it.
You just done it. She may be in pain, but you're in pain every time I what?
Every time I see your face.
Well, anyway, nice one, bud.
Thanks.
A 10-year-old British girl has been barred from trying to sell her granny on eBay. That kicks off tonight's stories we couldn't get to. We've only got about a minute, so we'll read just this story because it is compelling, it is poignant, it's whatever it is. A 10-year-old British girl has been barred from trying to sell her grandmother on eBay, who she complained was cuddly but annoying, according to the auction website. Zoe Pemberton wrote a lighthearted listing to sell her 61-year-old grandmother, Marion Goodall of Clacton, in southeastern England, but eBay said the advert breached human trafficking regulations. This child was going to traffic her grandma right the hell out of there. Obviously, we have rules about the selling of people, said an eBay spokeswoman. We had to take it down, but it was quite amusing. The little girl had described her grandmother as annoying, but had gone on to say she liked crosswords and was cuddly, and there were quite a few offers for the old, for the elderly woman. Anyway, the spokeswoman added, the advert was obviously lighthearted and had been done with the full knowledge of grandma. We do get these kinds of things from time to time. Also in the United Kingdom, would-be burglar failed to finish his crime after he broke into a house, drank a bottle of wine, and fell asleep on the sofa. The man stuffed items into a pillowcase before settling down with a full bottle of wine in Milton, Cambridge. The homeowner tried unsuccessfully to wake him up before calling police. Cambridge police confirmed a man had been arrested on suspicion of burglary and criminal damage following the incident on the 22nd of September. So this guy fell asleep while he's robbing a house, huh? Those are some of the stories we didn't get to tonight. It's a good thing we almost didn't get to the rest of them. Anyway, the Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Ranch, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Later from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.